Hello and welcome to the Business Podcast at Imperial College Business School. I am your host, Amin Siola, and today my guest is the founder of a service you might have seen whizzing around the city of London. With me today is Basil El Koussa, the founder of QuickUp and an Imperial College Business School alum. Basil El Koussa, thanks a lot for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So how long was it since you were last in the business school?
Graduated summer of 2012, actually. But I was here a couple of months ago. I did a little talk to some of the entrepreneurship club.
That's right,
here.
That's exactly how I found out about you. So here we are, 2012. So it's almost 6 years now.
Yeah, man. It seems like a century ago. So much has happened since.
Yeah. And what was it that you studied here?
I did a master's in finance.
Cool. Yeah. Finance. And now you've become an entrepreneur.
So. Yeah, man. So, like, when I graduated, I had two opportunities that I could have followed. Mm. One of them was a job at Apple doing pricing analysis, and the other was an internship at a VC fund. It was kind of like a startup VC fund that was investing in digital media and data sciences, and I kind of got my way in because their focus at the time that I applied was the esports industry and video games. Mm. And I had a bit of a past in that in my personal life.
A bit of a past. I'm guessing you mean thousands of hours of gameplay.
Thousands of hours playing games like StarCraft. But yeah, I mean, like I rocked the interview because of my knowledge of literally that game, StarCraft. So got in and met my co-founders there, and that's kind of like the beginning of that story. In fact.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, would you say it was a valuable experience, what you did beforehand, you know, to go down the VC route? And also, what would it have been like had you gone to Apple instead?
Well, to be honest, I think to answer your first question, like I didn't really have a linear career path. Right. I've worked in everything from a car garage to manufacturing business to selling DVDs at some point, to working in private equity, and then doing a couple of degrees.
Yeah.
The VC fund was a great place to kind of get a lot more exposed to this kind of like entrepreneurial spirit, to see a lot of startups and how they pitch and how they think about building their products.
Yeah.
It was also a place where I met my co-founders, so I'm like very grateful for that experience. I think if I went down the Apple route, I may have ended up in the kind of the same path at some point in my life, but I probably would have like kind of dug into that like corporate culture a bit more. I would have probably stayed longer. I mean, I was in the VC for literally just 1 year, and then jumped ship to start the business because I was constantly met with like all of these interesting businesses and really cool founders that were doing some really, really cool things. And one of the things that struck me was the amount of passion that these guys had for what they did. I mean, you could actually see it. You could feel it when they are in the room pitching their business. And and for me, kind of that's, you know, that kind of like authenticity and that feeling of being able to like give everything you've got every single day because it is a part of you is something that I value quite a lot. And that's what kind of drove me more and more in that direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see, there's a lot of talk about what steps you should take to get there, right? But in reality, it's never like that. You know, just looking into your profile, obviously, before coming here and meeting you previously, I think you've got that do-it mentality, and that's what it takes, right? A lot of people are sitting back, trying to calculate steps and analyze, and what path should I pursue, and should I do this? But in reality, it's just get there and do that. And just based on, I think, of what I've perceived from you so far, it's just about getting it done. I mean, how closely does this match what actually happened?
Man, it's about kind of having a bit of like an adventure mentality, right? Mm. Like, I think it's, I think, you know, you always take the experiences that you feel will add something to you in your life. And, I don't really think that there is like a formula for success. I don't think there's like a path towards becoming an entrepreneur. Mm. It's just like allowing yourself to see and feel opportunity, and then kind of go for it, and to kind of like have fun in the meantime, and to really keep an open mind. it is about getting it done. It is about being a bit of a doer. It is, but it's more about like kind of taking that step. It's about taking a bit of risk. It's about going the path that like others haven't gone. And I don't believe in these like go and do a few years in banking and then maybe a couple of years in private equity and then you've got the right experience to be an entrepreneur. I do believe those are really good career paths because you get a lot of like hard skills that are very important. But I also feel like you can skip all of that and just jump straight from school into entrepreneurship. And that every hour you spend being an entrepreneur, you're going to be faced with a million situations where you're going to have to learn. There's no choice but to learn. And,
right. And
you know, like, and that kind of hands-on learning is very valuable.
That's kind of learning you can do.
Exactly.
It's real.
Yeah.
So on that point then, tell us about your transition to QuickUp. Was it called QuickUp to begin with? And also, it's very important for us to know what year did you come up with this idea or decide to enter this market? Because it's quite relevant today. You know, there are some big players in the logistics industry. So did you go in at a time when it was attractive or was it a risk from the start?
Okay, so the first question, basically it was QuickUp.
Okay.
Then it was not QuickUp.
Okay.
Then it went back to being QuickUp.
Right.
So QuickUp was a name that like we found hard to deviate from. For some reason, it was the first obvious name. So we kind of were like, no, but it can't be the first obvious name. And we wanted to put more thought into it. But the reality is that we went back to that because it was very simple. It was quick pickup, QuickUp.
Yep.
We started the business in September 2013.
Okay.
And in the beginning when we first got into this space, like we did not think that we were like solving logistics problems. We did not think that like we're gonna get into last mile delivery. We built a very simple proposition. We built a consumer app which gave people the ability to type in what they want, where they want it from, hit go, and boom, they've got stuff delivered to them within an hour.
We were
responding to like an evolving consumer, a consumer that wanted more transparency and flexibility and kind of like the Uberization of and digitalization of the world. And we wanted to kind of give people time back. Now on that path and in that journey, we began to realize that there is an interesting dynamic that was happening in the marketplace and kind of like this transformation of retail. We understood that basically retailers were taking a heavy beating from your typical e-commerce players, your pure play e-commerce players like Amazon, that had launched services like Prime and Prime Now, and had put a new benchmark for the consumer expectation that they're gonna get their stuff in a more convenient way, in a faster way, So retailers had to kind of rethink their e-commerce business.
Right.
There's an inevitable shift towards more purchases being done online. And the model that retailers had built on the e-commerce side wasn't viable. You get your delivery in 3 to 5 days and it's a really clunky experience. You may miss it. You may not be there. You don't really know when you're going to get it. And anyways, 3 to 5 days was already a very long promise. But the reality is that like retailers have a natural advantage, and this natural advantage is the fact that they exist in the physical space and right around you. They have physical stores in the urban context, and these stores are carrying physical inventory. So in fact, when you're ordering stuff from their websites, that stuff could have been sourced from the store right around the corner and could have been delivered to you within the hour. So what we started off with was this kind of network of drivers that we enabled through technology to run people's errands. This technology we thought could be useful for us to kind of go and help retailers unlock this new channel, unlock the local inventory, and enable them to fulfill from the store and deliver directly to their customers through convenient means.
Okay.
And give kind of more control to their customer as to when and how they get their delivery.
Right. So it's essentially then the first version of the product was just an errand running service. I need you to pick up my wallet from James, who is in Shoreditch. Can you please take it from Shoreditch and bring it to South Kensington?
Yeah, it was literally as simple as that.
Okay, so is that a viable example then? Is that something that would have happened? I mean, what were people using it for initially? You have that data?
People were using it for quite a lot of different use cases. I mean, food delivery was the most obvious one. But then we've had people transport kittens from one place to the other. And we've had someone literally order like a garden's worth of plants, grass rolls and trees and a couple of bushes and a gardener included. And so that was one of the stories we have. So
a gardener included?
Yeah, a gardener included.
He didn't come in a box as well.
So we went and we rented, it was in the early days. So like one of my co-founders rented a zip van and literally stuck everything in the back, put the gardener next to him and went and delivered to that customer. It was like a nice little story.
Customer satisfaction.
Have. Yeah, 100%, man. We spent quite a lot of time doing the deliveries ourselves and on the phone dealing with customers ourselves. I mean, at least for the first year and a half, we were involved in the actual live operation of the business.
Now, have you maintained that customer focus until today? Because, I mean, for me or for any investor looking into QuickUp, that shows a level of commitment and an interest into the customer from the founder team. You know, and the team as a whole, that care, the fact that you'd go the extra mile to make sure that the customer's actually getting the service they want. Would you think that, I mean, are you putting in, is this part of the culture today, a couple of years down the line?
Yeah, so we've initiated this program internally. I mean, we've got 160 people working at QuickUp right
160?
Now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so we've initiated a program internally where basically people take quickie shifts once a quarter. So
quickie is a...
So for them to go and become a courier.
Perfect. Okay, so the couriers that are driving around either with motorcycles?
Yeah, I mean, some are runners, some are on bicycles, some are motorcycles, cars, very soon vans as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we've got this program internally where every employee must take these quickie shifts and get out there and actually experience what it is to do these deliveries.
So and that's part of being an employee there?
100%. And part of also being an employee is also to sit on the customer service side of things and take these kinds of calls.
Excellent.
And this is a way where we're kind of pushing this mentality in our culture that we are our service. Mm. And so the more people are familiar with this, the more with this service and how to carry out this service, the better we can actually advance take it in the right direction.
That's fantastic. I think that's really impressive. I don't know if you've ever heard of a program. I'm not sure this is the name. It's called Undercover CEO. And occasionally what they do is they take the CEO of a large company and they'd get him to be in the customer service line. Just for them to see, but that was a different perspective, more them to see, A, what the customer's feeling, and B, what it's like for the employees firsthand. So he was getting to two birds, one stone. But this is brilliant. This makes sure that essentially everyone in QuickUp knows what it's like for everyone else, you know, to see the customer perspective and to see the people delivering the stuff. And subsequently, you never really know when the next innovation tip may come from. Can be somebody that would have noticed something and says, comes up to you and says, Basil, maybe we can do this. This can shift the experience. Is this one of the goals for this?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, on the upside is that it's quite a lot of fun to be out there and to be doing those jobs when they come in. It's hectic. There's a bit of a rush you get. I mean, you kind of get into it, and it's really nice when you get to the customer's door and you give them their goods and you do it within a certain time frame. It's a quite rewarding experience,
right?
And you're out there in the elements, and you really are experiencing the city in a different way.
Mm.
Now, in terms of your point on innovation, I mean, the way the company is structured today, I mean, we've done a couple of reorgs in the business, and where we've gotten to now is that the company is structured in a way where we have not departments but cross-functional teams that kind of sit together. And these teams are multidisciplined, and every single one of those teams has a team lead who's kind of like a mini CEO of that part of the business. And these people work together towards a certain goal to fulfill a certain part of the business.
Right.
And they have the autonomy to come up with their ideas and build their plans and decide on how the development roadmap's direction is taking. So this was our way to kind of, let's say, decentralize management and enable people to really bring everything they can and really innovate as much as possible. Because we believe that a company like ours that is kind of tackling a problem that is a part of today and the future, we need to unlock the minds of everyone at the organization on one hand, and on the other, we want people to have a good time working at QuickUp. We want people to feel enabled, and we want people to feel like they can do whatever it takes for them to move their career forward, as well as push the company as well.
Okay, and very briefly, how did you go from, I guess, having a few years of experience to managing such a huge team? I mean, I'd imagine this isn't exactly something you can read in a book, right? How to manage 160 people. I don't think that such a book exists. It's one of those ones that you just gain by experience. So how did you find that learning curve, and what advice would you give to somebody, for example, in a high-growth company?
I'll start with advice. The advice is be humble. That's it.
Yep.
Because you don't know. And it's very important for you to
acknowledge that.
At all times. It's very important to know what you're good at, focus on that. What you don't know, find people to help with or try to learn on your own. In terms of like how I got there, I mean, I don't think I'm there, okay. And I think there's quite a lot that I need to do personally to really kind of do my job in the best way that I can. I was just kind of thrown into it, and a lot of things I tried, and I saw what worked, and I saw what didn't, and I was very open to criticism from my co-founders and from my peers in the company, and we just had to grow and develop ourselves along the way. We enriched ourselves with the knowledge around us. I seek advice from quite a lot of people. I'm constantly having conversations with people outside of QuickUp to gain perspective. I don't know how to describe this. I just kind of like threw myself into it, and I developed with time.
So QuickUp today is a last mile delivery service for businesses of all size. But before I get into that, at the time of the late 2013, which is when you launched this, how large was Deliveroo? Because I'm assuming everybody listening to this or watching this is very familiar with Deliveroo. I mean, they're worldwide now, and their bicycles are all around major cities. I would have personally thought, had I seen somebody such as yourself approach an investor and say, hey, we're going to be a delivery service, you'd have said, oh, there's a lot of competition. So, I mean, what is your perspective on that? Were you not scared that you couldn't compete?
From the start of the business, we saw this service on the consumer side to be a different kind of service. We were not building the business to become a food delivery business. So from the beginning, we were kind of taking a different direction. When we launched the marketplace on QuickUp, it was a multi-vertical marketplace where you can buy your grocery, you can buy your clothes, you can buy your electronics or pharmaceuticals or even alcohol. But in the evolution of the business and in us going after retailers to enable them with last mile logistics as a service, we've taken an entirely different direction. We don't see ourselves as competing with Deliveroo. We don't see ourselves to even look like Deliveroo. Okay. We're approaching retailers and basically high street retailers, and we're telling them, what is it that you need in order for you to be able to deliver from your store to the customer's door? And that's a combination of some software, and it's a combination with actual physical logistics. And that is the approach of QuickUp. If you go to a certain retailer's website, we are there on the checkout screen enabling that last piece, which is the fulfillment. We enable an e-commerce website to accept an order, send that order to the right store that is nearest to the customer. We help with actual in-store fulfillment and the technology that manages that.
Right.
And then we do the pickup and delivery to the customer.
Okay.
So in fact, we partner up with retailers and we enable them rather than us being basically an application where you can unlock all of the inventory of all of these retailers. We're not an online supermarket. We are a logistics partner.
Okay. Give us a direct example.
a direct example. So at the moment, we have a relationship with Tesco. So we have a partnership with Tesco. Okay. So if you go to the App Store, you can download an application called Tesco Now.
Okay.
If you place an order on Tesco Now, what happens is we absorb that order on the back end. We then point that order towards the nearest store to your location. Mm. We have a shopper app that sits in the Tesco store where one of our quickies will use this shopper app to pick up the item. So how does this app help that quickie pick up the item? So yep. This app absorbs a live feed of that specific basket that was ordered. Mm-hmm. Matches the items with their images,
yep.
And then groups those images based on the logical layout of the store.
Okay.
The quickie then walks through the aisles of Tesco, picks up the items, scans them, and then checks them out basically to deliver within 1 hour. And so what we're doing for Tesco here is we're helping with in-store fulfillment through tech and actual physical labor, and then we do the delivery within an hour.
That's full logistics.
100%.
So the recipient of the order then, is he going to see a quickie driver?
Yes.
So he's going to have the quick up bicycle, the quick up box.
Yes. I mean, think of it as like, you know when you are able to check out from a website using PayPal, for example?
Yeah, yeah.
Think of QuickUp as a checkout mechanism that enables delivery and convenient delivery, which gives you control of when you get your stuff.
Yeah, and obviously Tesco is one of the largest supermarkets in the UK.
It is the largest.
How did you manage to land that contract?
Through a lot and a lot and a lot of work and negotiation and time and sweat and blood and tears.
Yeah, yeah. It's phenomenal. I mean, congratulations to starters, but this is what it takes. You know, when you're partnering with somebody like Tesco, it enables you to get all those orders coming through. Are you looking to focus purely on sort of supermarket chains at the moment, or are you broadening the horizon to other industries?
The solution that we've built is agnostic. So like we can apply these solutions to any type of retailer.
Right.
Grocery was one of the first kind of verticals that we went into because we understood that grocery was going to be the first vertical to kind of tap into this new channel of business because of the nature of the grocery business. It's something that you do quite regularly.
Okay.
And Tesco identified QuickUp as an innovator in this space. Mm. And that's part of the reason why they came to us, is because we had built technology that was kind of ahead of the curve, and we were pushing the boundary, and we were able to absorb an enterprise like that and actually provide them with solutions.
So would you say then that QuickUp is a logistics company?
I think QuickUp is a technology-enabled logistics company.
Okay, and with regards to the software?
Yes.
Is that in-house made?
100%.
100%? Every software you have is pure?
100%.
Oh, okay, and just out of interest, I mean, how did you manage to find the developers for this? I mean, were these personal contacts? Are they part of the founding team?
Hats off to our CTO, Danny. I mean, he's one hell of a technologist, and he's been able to inspire quite a lot of people to come and join his team. I mean, that's you need someone great to attract great people, and he's one of these people.
Okay, when businesses are determining which logistics company they'd want to work with, for example, what are the metrics that they're interested in?
I think they're interested in the quality of service. Mm. I think they're interested in the ability to hit time SLAs. And the precision in which you work with, your ability to adapt to their specific needs, and to give them a solution that is fitting to what they're looking for.
Yeah,
flexibility is an important part of this.
In what sense, flexibility?
When you're working with enterprises, you realize that every single enterprise has a different process, a different setup in how they operate. So your ability to have a modular approach to your technology and how you integrate and how you build the solution is quite important in order for you to kind of land that client.
Right. And I'm guessing, am I right in assuming that it varies from client to client?
100%.
That must be quite annoying. it's part of the game, though, right?
It is, but it presents an opportunity because the way that like we've positioned our products is that We kind of take this like a component-driven approach where we have pieces of tech that are modular that can be switched on or off dependent on the use case.
Mm.
So in the example of Tesco, we have this shopper application, and then we do the pickup and delivery. In the example of other clients, we have a transmission layer in which we send orders into a point of sale system. We don't need necessarily the shopper application, but we just do the pickup and delivery after that. There are different pieces in the value chain that play a role in this kind of like end-to-end logistics service.
Okay.
And so when we build a piece of tech, we make sure that that piece of tech could be used in different scenarios.
Right.
So we don't necessarily build very bespoke solutions. Like every solution, we think about how it could fit other clients, and then that's how we build it.
With regards to routes, then, for your quickies, as you call them, I mean, what's the latest technologies now? Are you just plugging this from Google, or you know, how do you determine the quickest route from A to B?
Over the past few years, we've been gathering millions of tracking points, and we've developed our own intelligence as to our understanding of traffic and how long it takes from point A to point B at any point in time, then according to a certain amount of factors. So we've applied neural networks that enable us to estimate time and accordingly make the right dispatching decisions. And this is part of our core tech. We don't think that we can rely on third party services that can give us a precision in the particularities of our business.
Okay, so in theory, then, so QuickUp is doing its own AI. Neural networks.
Yeah.
And in theory, with every year that QuickUp is alive as a company and there's people driving around, running around, it's getting more and more data. And in theory, you're getting that delivery time lower and lower every time.
Yeah,
in an ideal world.
100%. I mean, if you can track our data over the past few quarters, you can see that we're constantly moving towards more precision and better delivery times and better SLAs being hit. The reality is the bigger we become and the longer time we exist in the market, the harder it is for a competitor to come into that market and actually compete with us.
Yeah. And how many drivers do you have now, quickies, around London? Because, I mean, I've been seeing a lot of them around, and I don't know if that's just because it's just a lot around campus, you know, because you miss Imperial and you're sending the quickies around this area, but...
it's all to create this illusion for you.
Possibly,
before this interview. Kind of like that movie, Focus, with Will Smith.
Oh.
You know that one?
I've seen it years ago, though, to be honest, yeah.
No, man. Basically, we've got a couple of thousand drivers that are in our pool.
Yeah.
And
actually, you know what? We should recommend that film. Because I remember the big scam scene when they were playing football, American football. It took me some time to process, but we got there in the end, yeah. Recommended film, Focus, Will Smith.
As I said, man, a couple of thousand quickies that are part of our network.
A couple of thousand?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay, right. What I love about this is that it's just free marketing for you. Every time someone's driving around, that's the QuickUp logo driving around the City of London in prime locations every single day as we speak. And it's just phenomenal. Have you ever had any inbound leads come through just sort of that?
100%. I mean, at the moment, it's like one of our biggest marketing tools. It creates a lot of awareness. Businesses that are seeing these drivers move around and they're like in top gear. No pun intended, but like really nice
this
outfits.
This is starting to become a film review podcast.
we get a lot of like inbound leads as a result, and we get clients asking us, so what is it exactly that you do? And we this is an opportunity for us to talk about the business.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So QuickUp is a B2B2C business. Explain what that means.
We are enabling businesses to do B2C deliveries directly, right?
Okay.
Like, so we're enabling a Tesco to deliver straight to the consumer. So that's how we are providing a business service to a business to reach their consumer.
B2B2C. And you're working with enterprise and also SMBs.
Yes.
Right. So a flower shop
in
Chelsea could be small, could be local, can now, using QuickUp, enable delivery to their customers.
100%. And I mean, that's the advantage that SMEs get working with us, because we're building all these like big solutions for enterprises. And a lot of that tech kind of trickles into the solutions that we're providing SMEs. With SMEs, it's as simple as just kind of going onto our website and doing a self-sign-up, and they get access to a web portal that enables them to request a driver to pick up and deliver their goods if they have a means of receiving orders through phone or through an e-commerce website. But we've also got integrations with platforms such as Shopify, WooCommerce, and Magento. Mm. So we're literally a plug-and-play that can go into the checkout screen of these SMBs and enable them to add delivery on to their proposition.
Wow. And you're not just in the UK, you're also in Dubai, is that right?
That is correct.
How did you end up there?
Well, I'm Lebanese. that helps in a way, yeah. In terms of like
geographically,
yeah,
not far from Dubai.
And I'm kind of I've lived in Saudi Arabia for a couple of years, so I've got a bit of knowledge on the region. But the reason why we went into Dubai is because we identify that there's this like gap in the market. Mm. You've got a population that it's a young population with high expendable income, one of the highest smartphone and internet penetration rates in the world, a service oriented city with a lot of like latent demand. The reality is that less than 2% is spent on e-commerce as opposed to retail spending in that market. So what you have is like all the factors that are supporting an e-commerce ecosystem to be there. But one of the things that are missing was really good logistics. I mean, previously, a couple of months ago, when you order from some of the major e-commerce websites, you don't really know when you're going to get your goods. And yeah, that's not a great experience.
Absolutely not.
And so what we're providing is a leapfrog in technology, enabling e-commerce players to provide a really compelling service to their customers. And so we're kind of like helping this e-commerce ecosystem to be fueled and to flourish, basically.
Yeah. And it's just Dubai at the moment, or elsewhere?
Just Dubai at the moment.
Okay, and I mean, what is the logic or rationale behind expanding as opposed to just focusing on the UK? I mean, obviously, you've told me that there's some statistics to show or suggest that it's worth exploring that market in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I guess what are the main drivers? I mean, could one not consider it to be a risk? It's like, well, if it's working in the UK while we're branching out. And also, are you using, I'm guessing, the same technology that you've implemented in the UK in Dubai as well? So in theory, you're building, possibly using the neural networks there, logistics, knowledge, database, information, expertise in that area, but here as well. And that's just part of the expansion strategy.
I mean, the answer is in your question.
Right.
I mean, we've built this technology. And now it's time to kind of like amortize this investment. And when we go into new markets, we've got 160 employees, as I said earlier, at QuickUp. Yeah. When we launch a new market, we need a team of, let's say, 5 to 10 people. And that's a new market for us. So we can leverage the technology that we've built to expand into new cities and increase our kind of like top line growth, basically.
Okay. So, and for completeness, how much have you raised so far? What's your latest funding round?
So far we've raised around £23 million.
Right. UK investors here, or is it a mixture?
It's a mixture. We've got some institutional investors, we've got some strategic investors, and some private investors.
Perfect. Wow. And where's QuickUp heading then? What should we expect to see from QuickUp in the next couple of years?
What to expect? I mean, you're going to expect to see QuickUp in a couple of other cities. Mm. You're going to expect to see QuickUp advancing the technology that like we're building. We're going to have solutions that are fitting for more use cases than the ones that we have right now. You're going to see QuickUp rebranding soon, hopefully. Mm. This is the first time I kind of like talk about
this.
You
heard it here first on the business podcast. Yeah. Imperial College Business School. There you go. Yeah.
Hopefully world domination soon.
World domination as well. Did not expect that response.
Joking.
Oh, thanks for clarifying.
A lot of entrepreneurs like to say that. I mean, it's kind of a standard thing. Let's dominate the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or bring world peace.
Oh, we want to change the world.
Yeah.
I want to change the world with this app.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, just recommends what button you should wear tomorrow. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. You never know. It might change the world. Speaking of entrepreneurs. You've been through one hell of a journey, and I'm positive and optimistic that there's a lot more exciting stuff happening soon for yourself and QuickUp. What advice would you have to somebody that's, I wouldn't say in your shoes, but is either currently an entrepreneur running a business or thinking of embarking on this journey?
In thinking of embarking on this journey is don't think too much about it. Mm. Like just do it, because if you think too much about it rationally, you shouldn't start a business. I mean, that's
statistically, yeah.
So you just got to do it, and you almost have to ignore a lot of the things that like would naturally tell you that. Things don't make sense, because a lot of things just don't make sense, and at some point they do if you put a lot of effort into it. And for the people that are part of that journey, I mean, there are good times and there are bad times. And then when you kind of go through bad times, it could get really, 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 really bad. But the reality is that at the end of a really, really bad time, there's always a good time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, those must come down.
I know this sounds like a very kind of vague and general statement. I think that for people who are going through this experience, hopefully this will resonate.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will. And one last thing, actually. I'm not sure you're expecting me to bring this story up, but I did hear this last time we met. And this was in the early days of QuickUp. I'll let you narrate the story. But you were able to track what users were doing on the app. And there was a certain customer that was on there that was trying to purchase something. And you picked up the phone. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we were using one of those like tracking tools that kind of show you live events on the application. So we were like glued to the screen waiting for people to put an order in. We even had this like system at the office where every single time an order would come in, we had this like song that would come up and we'd all get up and dance and like celebrate.
Okay. I think it's unsustainable to do it now, then.
Yeah, no.
you'd be dancing all day.
Yeah,
you know?
But which is a good thing in
yeah,
a way,
I guess,
right?
So, yeah.
Basically, we were like observing every single step every single client was doing, and then when a client wouldn't put an order in and they're like sitting there on the checkout screen, I'd pick up the phone and call them, say, "Hey, what's up?" And they'd freak out. They were like really creeped out by that.
Wow.
But you know, I always kind of like managed to turn it around and tell them, listen, this is exactly what we're doing. We're like observing the service.
Okay.
We want to make it really excellent, and like and I want to understand why you didn't place that order.
Yeah,
And people appreciated that. People responded to that really nicely, and a lot of people became like ambassadors of the brand in the early days.
Speaking of ambassadors, actually, I came across a video this morning of a woman called the London Mummy on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but she actually kind of reviewed the QuickUp service in about a minute. And it was great. She just shared the app. She ordered some donuts from her local donut shop. And they arrived and she videoed the whole thing in less than a minute. And I thought that was an excellent way to appeal to future customers. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but...
I think I have. This was like a couple of years ago, right?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly yeah, a couple
yeah,
years
yeah.
ago, yeah.
Yeah, man. We got a lot of like unsolicited...
marketing, pre-marketing, yeah.
Because I mean, it's a service that solved a lot of people's problems. I mean, you've got an app that gives you the ability to have access to the entire city and get things that you need delivered to you.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, we picked up a lot of like these influencers wanting to talk about this and wanting to share their experiences. I mean, one of the cool things about the QuickUp app is that when you use it, you buy something that is kind of like off piece. It's not like something that you'd expect to buy from a delivery app,
right? Okay,
right, like a board game that you need right now. There's this like really good feeling when you actually receive the goods, and it creates that kind of like, I want to tell people about this thing. I want other people to kind of share that kind of experience with me. And so that's the feeling that I believe that London Mummy got, and then wanted to share.
And people listening to this can download the app. Is it on Android as well?
It's on web, which is accessible on Android.
Perfect.
But what we want to do with this experience is we want to bring this experience to a lot of our retailers. We want to give retailers the ability to wow their customers in the same way the QuickUp app wowed our customers.
Right.
And so we want to bring back that like feeling of instant gratification that you get from buying something from a retailer, even if it was online. And that is part of the power of the network that we're building, that we're using to enable these retailers that sit on the high street.
Okay, so would you say then this hub is the relationship then between the local suppliers, the local shops? So, you know, a florist in Chelsea, again, to use that example from earlier.
Yeah.
With the fact that they can use something like QuickUp, create a sort of strengthen the relationship between their customers?
I mean, our strategy is we need to wow the person receiving the goods.
Okay.
If we wow that person, first we're going to be able to attract business. Businesses would want to use our service.
Yep.
And second, we're gonna make the experience for that florist better, and we're going to give them the ability to kind of bridge that offline and online experience that the customer would have. We want to be able to replicate as much as possible the experience of you walking into the store and buying something, feeling good about it, and then walking out and, you know, unwrapping it as soon as you get home. We want to give you that feeling at home as well when you order goods from a specific store.
Yeah. Well, that sounds incredible. I mean, QuickUp, it's really interesting to see where this is going. Logistics is a very, very interesting space. The fact that there's a huge technological element to what you guys are doing, I guess, is kind of almost part of the USP of the thing. You know, there is technology behind the logistics. It's not just guys on bikes and guys with backpacks running around delivering. There is a lot of technology and thought and knowledge behind that, which I guess is what makes QuickUp great. One point before we wrap up, how was your experience at the business school?
It was really cool, you know, kind of being in that same classroom that I used to sit in, talking to people about my experience and seeing them engaged in what I do. It was a very humbling experience. I really love this university. I mean, it gave me quite a lot, and really good friendships, really good education.
Yeah.
And it was an honor kind of being able to bring some value back, to be honest.
Cool. Well, Basil Elkousa, thanks so much for coming. Like I said, I wish you the best of luck with QuickUp. I think what you're doing is incredible. And maybe hear from you very soon.
Thank you so much, man. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks a lot. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast episode with Basil Elkousa, founder of QuickUp and Imperial Business School alum. I was your host, Amin Siola. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on YouTube. Just search Imperial College Business School Podcast and go directly to the website businesspodcast.co. That's businesspodcast.co. Make sure to leave a rating and tune in soon for more episodes. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.